My name's Christina from Fabulous Las Vegas, Nevada. This is the Hoover Dam from the water's edge, and you're watching the Vegas Video Network.
Hey, on today's Living in Las Vegas. Well, guess where I am? I'm at NAB Las Vegas. That's the National Association of Broadcast Conference. This is the largest conference in the world for broadcasters. It happens here about every April here in Las Vegas, and we're running around checking stuff out. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. What are the cool things happening here that I think are exciting and would be exciting to you too? Plus, we've got real quick stories, live chat questions, listener email, and of course, have a drink on me. This is a Living in Las Vegas podcast where here's the NAB drinking game. Every time you see somebody talk about a drone, take a drink. You will be more drunk than you've ever been in your life. All right, let's get started. Living in Las Vegas starts now.
Yes, it does.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome from Las Vegas, Nevada, that groovy little podcast that gives you a true first-person look into what it's like to call Sin City your home, the Living in Las Vegas podcast.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, kids. Ugh. I don't leave a mark.
And now your host, a man who clearly needs some kind of introduction, otherwise you wouldn't know who he was.
A singer by the sky.
Mr. Scott Whitney. Welcome, everybody, to the Living in Las Vegas podcast here on the Vegas Video Network. Oh. Kind of a mellow show today. We're going to be taking it offline, kind of your behind the scenes, kind of your after dark vibe. But first, let me congratulate you because you are watching the longest running podcast about Las Vegas that actually originates from Las Vegas. And your hosts, normally we have a combined total of 30,000 years, but today we have a combined total of 20,000 years, which means we're not only going to cover what it's like to live here in Las Vegas. Oh no, we're going to tell you about our adventures. Scott, do you have adventures? Oh, yeah. We go to the Strip. We go to Fremont Street. We're downtown. Other cool places here in the Valley. And by the way, if you're a visitor, if you're a tourist, if you're a fan of this here city, well, our show is like your own secret handshake to all things groovy and happening here in this here town. Hey, we're live every Tuesday night at 7 o'clock at VegasVideoNetwork.com/live. It's VegasVideoNetwork.com/live. Be a part of the fun. Get yourself in the live chat. Be a part of the show. These guys are the coolest people you're ever going to meet. And I'm not just saying that because they've paid me to do that, which they have not do. These people are cheap. Nope. These are really nice guys. They show up an hour before the show because they like each other. I actually think they're here not because of the show, but because they like people like Pops and Binky and Glenn and Danny. All these guys are in the live chat. I think that's what they're really all about. Hey, I'm your host, Scott Whitney. Konnichiwa, buenas noches. How you doing? Hot stuff. Been an online broadcaster since 2005. Been a professional online broadcaster since 2006, and I own the Vegas Video Network. I'm normally joined by my co-host, Brett. Brett is taking care of some business, as those of you who know his background. He's out fighting the fight, and he's had some success just recently, as he talked about in his last appearance here. He continues to fight that fight, doing some pretty special things. So, you know, we're thinking about him and expect that he's going to do well, because he is a stud among studs. Over under, I'm going 25 minutes. Bet the over. And before we do anything else, I want to thank Wayne for stepping in last week and talk about the adoption foster care thing. It was interesting. Got some really interesting feedback. We got one letter that must have been 15 paragraphs talking about their experience with regards to foster care and adoption and how much they appreciated Wayne talking about that. So I appreciate that. Also, a tip of the hat to Christina, our very first viewer who sent in a video. You saw what she did. We'll talk a little bit about how she did that and invite you to play along as well. So as most of you guys know, Las Vegas is the convention center of the world. And one of the largest is a thing called NAB, which is the National Association of Broadcasters. 100,000 or so broadcaster types coming around. So you see cameras everywhere and nerdy people looking at this and antennas and stuff. And how does that work? And what's the second Friday studio of the MP4? A lot of those guys running around. But I'm kind of a broadcast guy, so I wanted to sniff around and see what was going on at the big NAB. You know, last year I didn't have a chance to go. Year before I went. And actually, last year I did go. Year before that I didn't go. NAB is kind of an interesting. First of all, let's talk a little bit about how to get there. This is awesome, what's happening now. So it used to be when I went to any convention, I would drive there. And parking at the Las Vegas Convention Center is a hassle. It's not fun. It's a drag. Guess what we use today? We used Uber. Now, I thought, and you know, everybody talks about this, that Uber will do surge pricing. So I thought, man, they're probably going to charge $20, $30 to bring somebody there. Now, my property, my studio that we'd shoot most of our shows is on, it's just south of Palace Station, basically. About a mile south of Palace Station. So not that far from the convention center. But I still thought, well, $20, $30. $10. The person was there in 3 minutes, showed up in a nice car, took off. He's been an Uber driver. He actually moved from Idaho to become an Uber driver here. He's doing it full time, loves it. Got to the convention center in about, 5-10 minutes or so, dropped me off right in front of the place. And then they had an Uber tent in the front so that when it was time to go, I just walked up to the tent, said, okay, I want my Uber people. And there was a whole bunch of Uber people just waiting. So instead of waiting 3 minutes when I left, it was your car is ready, E30, because they had a bunch of little deals there. So I just basically walked up and went, taxi drivers. I would not want to be a taxi driver now. By the way, I read something in the LA Times that said taxi business has dropped off 25% in Los Angeles because of Uber and Lyft. And I'm telling you what, I predict that's going to happen here. I predict, as I've said before, drunk driving goes down here. And these people, I mean, this is the Uber X, so that's your own personal cars. It's not as fancy as the black car stuff, but I got to tell you, I've done it 3 times now. I say, do it. It's pretty cool. Now, what's NAB really kind of focused on? NAB is really focused on large broadcaster types. So you're going to see these big, giant booths from the main guys. So Panasonic, Sony, Canon. These guys have booths that are 100 by 100. Huge monster. And that's not what I'm interested in. I mean, I have Canon cameras, and that's fine. But what I'm looking for is stuff that really speaks to me, something that can help me, or somebody can help somebody who's trying to get into broadcasting but doesn't have a seven-figure budget to go out and buy a bunch of stuff. I'm interested in not the big things, but the little guys who are making shit happen. And I'll give you a perfect example of that. So we have a green screen in our studio that's very, very cool. So they have this thing if you've been to a high-end studio, you've seen these things where it's a green wall that's bent like this, that's, you know, curved like that all the way around. It's called a psych wall, CYC for cyclometer. And they're usually very, very expensive. You can spend $50,000 on having one of these things built. And 2 years ago, I met a South Korean company that had one that they had it was on tubes. You built these tubes and you stretched the material on there. And it was the coolest thing. So I bought one for our studio. I bought one for IGT. And it cost pennies versus what these other guys are doing. Now it's thousands of dollars, but it wasn't $20,000. It was very impressive. I saw another one of those kind of things today. So that's kind of what I'm looking for. You know, what's out there that's kind of neat, maybe off the beaten path, or, you know, a twist on something that people are kind of becoming aware of. But let me say this before that. I don't care what you do for a living. I will show you now the worst job at NAB. And you may say to yourself, it doesn't look like the worst job. No, it's the worst job. This is tantamount to torture. And what these people are, quote, actresses. And what they do is all these big companies have super colorful areas so they can point their $30,000 cameras at them and prove to you that they can record stuff in color. And so what you see is a bunch of women who are bored out of their gourd. They're looking at their cell phone, and they are everywhere. I will tell you right now, that would make me crazy. So if you have an opportunity to be tortured, if you want to be tortured, have I got a place for you? Basically, it's worse than being a booth babe. You get to just sit there, read stuff, and people are doing close-ups on you, and you don't even know that's happening. That's not a feature. Now, the drinking game, I think I mentioned at the opening, the cold opening, is if anybody mentions drones, well, then have a drink. You'll be so shit-faced, you'll never be able to walk out there. And man, they are everywhere. But now, instead of these little drones that we're all used to, that drone, could you imagine a drone that big actually flying over your head? Holy crap. I would be kind of freaked out if that thing. These things are huge. They've got real size cameras on them. You couldn't walk 5 feet and find another clone in captivity flying in a cage, proving that a clone or that a drone can fly. Now, I will say this about this particular drone that was kind of smart. And the number one complaint about drones is they run out of battery power, right? So 10 minutes, 15, 20 minutes, you're out, you're done. This one right here, you can't really see it. Let me see. Yeah, you can't really see it in the picture, but it has a power cable attached to it, a 200-foot power cable. So they were telling me that drone's been flying all day, just bring. Now, that's pretty clever. I liked that idea. Didn't really mention whether they got tangled up in that or not, but that was the one thing that I thought was pretty cool. Now, drones were big last year. They were kind of big the year before that. So that really didn't do much for me. Now, what the first thing I saw when I walked in that I thought was hysterical is everybody's got these, you know, virtual reality goggles on. So you walk in and you see guys like this. And you see groups of people in what looks like a break room with these damn things on. And, you know, they're doing this. They're trying to see in their hands and grab stuff. And I had somebody who I know who will remain nameless was kind enough to send me a video of porno VR. That person knows who they are. That person's in the live chat right now, by the way. I didn't see the porn VR there. But I did see something that I thought was interesting, and it's related to this concept of 360-degree video. So imagine, like right now, when you're looking at me, I don't know, this is probably a 90-degree angle, maybe even less than that. A lot of folks have these cameras that were 360-degree, and what you used to see is they would take a bunch of GoPros and mount them on something, and they would shoot them all and then etch them all together, you know, kind of glue them together, which is kind of, you know, bumpy and not really great. So what these guys are doing now is they have these cameras that basically do 360 kind of built in. You're not kind of, you know, putting it all together like a, I don't know, like a puzzle. And they're doing some pretty cool things. So one software company, small company from China, was saying, this would be really cool if you put it in a club, you know, like XS or you know, Hackensack or whatever. Let me show you what they did video-wise. This was pretty interesting to me. Now, I want you to watch my hand. I'm looking at a video on a cell phone. So it's just a regular cell phone looking at the video. But as I move my hand, the accelerometer or whatever that thing is sees that and moves me in space of the video that's already being recorded. Watch this. So you see how it's moving? Crazy, right? Just crazy. Now, this one, they used it to do an interview with some people at Disney, a Disney movie, and watch what happens when he moves his screen. Whoops. No, Scott, you bonehead. Stand by.
And
he moves it, and all these people are kind of just in space. It's live video. It's so interesting. So I think that has potential. I'm not really sure what. What was interesting is when I asked the guy about the club stuff, I said, well, are you talking to all these clubs here? There's a bunch of them. This is ground zero for what you're talking about. And he was like, well, you know, we're not really focused on that. I'm like, what? You just showed me a club scene. He goes, well, you know, we want to do other things with it. Okay, whatever you want to do. But I thought that was one of the first things that I looked at and went, okay, that I hadn't seen before. That was really well done. I can see some play. Now, at the same time, the second guys, the guys who did that thing for Disney, they also had, you know, the real VR goggles there. And they had a setup outside in front of the convention center that had some gal playing piano. It was $1 million setup, they said. They hired the same people that did other big kinds of shows. So I put on the goggles and was really underwhelmed. Super bitmappy, didn't look very good. I mean, I could turn my head and see the piano keys and the piano player and something over there, and I could see a boom camera moving around there, but it looked like crap, quite frankly. And I asked their marketing guy who showed me that video, and he's like, well, people don't care. They really like that. I'm like, no, they're going to care. We're going to care about that. So that was a letdown, not what I expected. But I tell you, that whole moving the video thing, that was pretty sweet. All right. Myself, I just took a picture of this one thing because I thought, I saw this during the Super Bowl, and I thought, you know, that's pretty clever. I wonder how they did that. Well, ladies and gentlemen, there's a pylon cam, the pylon cam from Super Bowl 50. Mm-hmm. Always looking out for you. What I didn't know is they had 1, 2, 3, 4, an upper end. You can see the little squares there. Those are where the cameras are. And those are some badass cameras, man, because they got the crappy of them. But I thought that was kind of cool. All right, what else? So the next thing that I thought was neat, now everybody who's watched any of our shows know that we have virtual sets. And what a virtual set is these sets that look like they're $1 million sets, but in fact, they're completely pretend. They're not real. Even the reflection on the desk, nothing there is real. You have a couple of people on a green screen, you know, 1, 2, or 3 cameras and the magic there. Now, in the last couple of times I've been to NAB, one of my favorite things to see are the high-end virtual sets. So, for example, much of what you see on ESPN are virtual sets. And you can kind of see them. CNN uses a lot of virtual sets, especially when you see the grand sweeping kinds of things. Those are mostly virtual sets. But I saw something today that I thought was really cool, and it wasn't a virtual set, but it was based upon the same premise, meaning it had a video scene, and they put an actor in the scene. But what they did, I thought, was really cool. I want you to watch this gal. I want you to watch the shadows that she's throwing on the scene. It's very impressive. So there she is waving. You can see she's got, and you can see what they're doing. They're actually adding shadows through their software. So she now has, you can see a shadow going off to her left behind her, a shadow going off to her right behind her, and you can see the shadows reflecting on the car behind her. You're gonna see in a second, another shadow will pop up as if the sun were behind her, and they're just adding these shadows in the software. But there she really is. So she's just sitting on a green screen, not a particularly well-lit green screen, and you can see how amazing that looks. I just thought that was stunning. And this speaks to the magic that is Hollywood. So this kind of thing, you're already seeing. I mean, I'm sure we've all seen the before and after of, I don't know, Harry Potter, where you see him running around green screens and then you see him superimpose the stuff. And that's done with multi-million dollar stuff. And so it's not the kind of thing that is, you know, at the fingertips of somebody like us. But this kind of thing here you saw there was like, wait a minute, that's pretty magical. And even the TriCaster guys are doing some things like that. Not to that extent, but those are the kind of things that you look at and go, God, man, that's the part of what makes you kind of cool to be a human. Because they, I don't know how they figured that out, but they sure as hell did. And they had all kinds of stuff they put her on, and they were able to make that shadow, which is the thing that makes it look real. That shadow was able to reflect on cars, on walls, on bushes, on sidewalks. It was really, really pretty cool. All right, next thing that I thought was interesting was the idea of a gimbal. So I'll show you what that means. I see a lot of people, you know, do the selfie kind of thing with their camera like this, right? And what a gimbal does, you've seen these on movies as well, where the guy's got a big harness on and he's walking around. And while he's walking up and down in hills, the camera stays steady, right? So he's doing this, but the camera looks steady, steady cam kind of thing, right? So they're bringing these gimbals now to the end user, to folks like myself. Now, remember, the idea on this show is not, it's not CES. It's not the Consumer Electronics Show. This is National Broadcasters. So it's not really meant for end users so much, but clearly they're thinking about end users, given what I saw. So I saw a couple things that I thought were pretty interesting. Here is what I saw.
And it will spin around. You can kind of do your, like maybe a blogger is doing an interview.
Yeah.
You can, you know, ask a few questions. You know, spin it back around.
Pretty neat, huh? Right. So you hook up your phone there.
The largest iPhone.
You collapse it.
Do it in there. And this comes with its own camera. Now some use your own camera, and some use. Now the thing that was annoying about these guys, I think I have their, yeah. There it is. Let me bring this up for a sec. So it's these guys here, Autel. And the one thing that you have to be aware of, and this is just a sales 101 thing. I asked several people, how much is it? And I had several people say, I don't know. Or we weren't told, when's it ready? When's it going to ship? Not sure yet. Okay. Now, these guys here, the ones I just showed you, are competing against another company that I'll show you called DJI. DJI are the folks who do the Phantom drones that are super, super popular. They're about $1,300, $1,400. A lot of people use these. And so, and I'll show you their product in a minute. But these guys are clearly going after this. It looked pretty impressive, but no timing, no cost, no real sense. Now, the DJI drone or the DJI handheld thing that I'm going to show you in a second goes for about $600. So what I'm about to show you is a new version that's going to cost a little bit more. So let's continue with that. Stand by.
Yeah, indeed.
So this is another little guy. Now, this one uses your phone. $270. So I'm using my phone to shoot that phone. Normally you would be seeing the shot that you're seeing on that phone. I just wanted to see how it gimbaled around. You can see it's a little unsteady a couple of times. Also, I think the battery was a little dead. And this is the Osma, which is the one from DGI. This is the kind of like the 800-pound gorilla in this business.
Yeah, it's basically acting like a steady.
And you can see they added this other arm, so it's better for going up and down. But you can see, if you look real carefully there, you can see that the video being shot on that camera, so it's a wireless connection. As he's moving around.
Yeah, it's basically acting like a steady cam.
You can see how it's kind of jittery. So I asked people, is it actually recording jittery, or is it just displaying jittery? And they're all telling me it was just displaying jittery, but it didn't feel really good to me.
I've looked at about five of these things. Half of them worked, half of them didn't. We're gonna see if it handles this selfie thing. So my phone is inside this guy. Here. You can see this is a company here. They actually have it on Amazon under a different brand.
The brand is called AutoReady. So you can buy the one that I'm using right now with my own phone. I just put my phone in, asked them how to work it, and said, okay, let me just play around with this. $250 on Amazon. It's called Auto Steady. I'm sorry.
$249. So for me to turn the camera, I just twist my wrist, and now it's rotating fast. That's pretty fun. This is is my favorite part. By the way, this is my favorite part of NAB. It's not all the big fuckers over there doing that stuff. It's the little guys out there making shit happen. That's what's fun about this place. And you can tell I'm right because this guy's smiling and he believes me. Right, see? It's not like I'm making it up. And if I just turn my wrist, it'll just rotate past.
Phone to it, you can attach one of the small little.
That's pretty cool.
All
right. I like that.
So that's this guy here. I think it's another Chinese company. I'm like, well, when does it ship? He goes, well, we've got it right now already on Amazon. Again, called Auto Steady. It's in white, but it was pretty impressive, I thought. That was one of my favorite things to look at. And then finally, not a lot of you guys know this, but you know, we're using live stream to stream this out right now. And we are a live stream partner, meaning we could sell their equipment. And so they compete very heavily against the TriCaster folks. NewTek is the company. And the NewTek stuff can be a little pricey. I mean, the thing that we're using right now, I think that's $19,000. The one we have in our studio, I think that's $39,000, something like that. They're expensive. They have cheaper ones, but they actually, and the cheaper ones are getting better. And those are in the $6,000 range. Livestream has gone after these guys pretty strong. They're clearly the most aggressive competitor against the TriCasters. And there are other guys. As a matter of fact, last year there were more people competing against the TriCasters than I thought this year. But the folks over at Livestream is doing a thing that I think is really, really, really nice. This is pretty clever stuff. So I've been playing around with this Facebook Live thing. And they have a solution for Facebook Live that is arguably one of the coolest things I've seen. There's still a couple things that need to be fixed, I think, on it, one of which is it doesn't support Android phones. It only works with iPhones 5S and above, which is weird, although he explained that to me. But watch what this thing does if you're interested in the Facebook Live world.
Live stream. It's a live streaming, live editing camera. The camera has a 4K sensor. It then pairs with the Mevo app, which allows you to set up to 9 different 720 frames within that 4K field of view and cut what looks like a multi-camera show from one fixed vantage point. In addition to being able to cut, I can do moves by panning. However long I hold my finger here, that's how long the move is going to take. So by holding it for a couple seconds, we'll get a nice smooth move across everybody. The same thing works with zooms. I got a wide button in the bottom. Zoom in on you right here, and if I hold 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then let go, it's going to give me a nice slow zoom into you. If I needed to get into you quick, though, I could just zoom and let it go, and it'll whip right into you. In addition to that, we have face detection turned on, so you see all these blue trackers here? That's people's faces the camera's finding, and if I come down here in the multi-view, it's giving me all these faces based on what the camera already thinks is the best shots. If there's something you want to track besides a face, you can tap it and hold it. Let's say this iPad, for whatever reason, is very important. I can tap it and hold it. It then puts a tracker on the iPad. And if I come to the multi-view, now on top of the faces that I've got, I've also got my iPad and my wide shot. The camera can stream to livestream.com or Facebook Live. You can also record to the videos folder on your phone or a micro SD card on the camera.
Can you record on the camera and then play it on Facebook Live, or does it have to be live?
It has to be live.
How much the camera cost?
The camera is...
So pretty cool. The camera is $400. They have a bigger pack that has battery and stuff. Yeah, and so I asked him about the iPhone thing off the record, but away from that video. And he said the problem with Androids is while I said, you know, there's a lot of Androids. No, they're taking pre-orders now, Glenn. From the live chat, and they're shipping in July, they said. So the reason why they said they're doing iPhones only is because with an iPhone 5S, they know exactly what the hardware capabilities are, and that hardware capability is enough to run this software. With Androids, the problem is there are so many Androids out there, and the capabilities from a hardware perspective are so all over the place, they didn't want to do, you know, first to market with that and then run the risk of people saying this thing's a piece of shit. It doesn't run in our hardware, which I understand. Now, the problem I had is he said it was just iPhone. Well, I don't want an iPhone, maybe an iPad. You know, I might get an iPad, which are pretty powerful, but they didn't mention whether it was iPad capable or if it was just iPhone. The website says just iPhone. So the idea behind it is cool. There are some things that, you know, they didn't acknowledge that I saw that would be problematic. But overall, clearly one of the coolest things I've seen. They've been pitching the shit out of this thing on Facebook, understandably. I see ads for it every day in my stream. So they want it to go. They want to sell it, that's for sure. And it does some pretty clever things. I think people who are paying attention and understand, you know, how to craft a good story could use this tool and really do some pretty cool stuff. So attaboy to the live stream. You know, it was funny when I was sitting there talking to that guy, the bearded guy. First, he recognized me when I walked up. And we were talking. There was a guy sitting next to me. And he looked at me and goes, "Hey, I watch your show." Which I thought, "And I watch your network." I'm like, "Well, that was fucking cool." So that was NAB. The name of the company, Greg, is Livestream, as in livestream.com. Same people we use to do our live stream. So very, very good. And admits to the public, you mean that video? That camera? Yeah, that camera is absolutely available to anybody who wants to buy it. They're pricing it at, I think it was $399 or $499. They were doing $100 off at the show. So I'll tell you, it's a pretty cool thing. If they had it for an Android or if they had it for an iPad, I definitely would have bought one and just kind of played around with it and see what was going on there. All right, that's it. Pretty interesting stuff. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. This is the Living in Las Vegas podcast on the Vegas Video Network. This episode of Living in Las Vegas is brought to you by the Vegas Video Co-op. Because your online presence is often your only chance to begin a meaningful sales conversation, please take a moment and visit VegasVideoCoop.com. Highlight your business, start a talk show, or unleash your genius for a low monthly fee. Use promo code LILV for a special discount to our viewers and listeners. That's VegasVideoCoop.com. Yeah! Okay, it's time for listener emails, part of the show where we read emails from the world's greatest viewers and listeners. You send an email to onairq@livinginlv.com. Again, onairq@livinginlv.com, and we will read your stuff. We are afraid of no questions, and those that we don't know, we will make up. Normally, I read the guys, and Brett reads the girls. I will read both. We've got three emails that we're going to cover today. Here's what we got. First one's from Todd. Todd writes, "Howdy. Excuse me, SMB, you guys are still killing it. Great shows, more booze for you too." Fair enough. "I recently was talking to a customer of mine about my favorite city, and he knew all about the Living in Las Vegas podcast too." That's two people today. "Right here in Norman, Oklahoma." Boomer Sooner. Anywho, solo Vegas trip sometime in June or July, then 30th birthday, the first week of October, in that flashy, shiny city I love so much. "I need to fish Lake Las Vegas." He actually sent a picture of him fishing. Do I have that picture? I might not have brought it in. He's a fisher guy. There's no question about that. Let's see. Nope. No. "Waiting on the show. We shall have a cold one soon. Todd from Oklahoma." Let me say something about Lake Mead. Lake Mead is one of my favorite places. They have fish in Lake. Did I say Lake Las Vegas? I meant to say Lake Mead. Thank you about that. If I said Lake Las Vegas, I meant Lake Mead. There are fish in Lake Mead. "I will tell you about the Lake Mead. Lake Mead is one of my favorite places." I'm not a fisher guy. I always feel bad about that. Even catch release. I'm like, yeah, I'm sorry. I scarred you. Please don't be angry at me for having this little whistle every time you make a left turn in the water. No. What I really like about Lake Mead is water skiing. They have boats that you can rent there. Calville Bay, I think, is my favorite place. It doesn't cost that much to rent a little boat. If you want to go skiing, you can do that. We like these pontoon boats. They're about 27 feet. So they're not that slow-moving party boat you're thinking of, but they're 27 feet. They got little pontoons. They'll do about 20, 25 knots, so you could ski behind it if you want to hold 6-8 people. So you could have a party on there. But Lake Mead in the summertime, and I mean like August, is terrific because the water, believe it or not, is about 80 degrees. Now, that is below the 86 degrees that we require at Whitney Villa. However, when you're out on the lake and you're having a couple of beers, 80 degrees is okay. So if you're here for some time, first of all, if you're a local and you haven't had a chance to go out to Lake Mead, get on out there, man. Just have some fun. Take it easy. Get a boat. You don't have to go fast. And Lake Mead's really not that big, so you're not going to get lost, which I think freaks out some people. So, you know, what we would normally do is we get out there and then just kind of follow the coastline. And it goes, you know, all over the place. And there's some islands in the middle. And yeah, the water is dropping, and that's kind of a drag without question. But it's one of my favorite things to do. We've done it many, many times. When we first got here, actually the last time we were going to do it, we were going to do it with Neil and Sarah. But the weather was so bad, they wouldn't let anybody on the water. So that was a real disappointment. But go out there and check out Lake Mead. It's really a terrific place to hang out. Okay, next one's from Gene, who is a pops in the live chat. Gene writes, "Dear guru of all things Vegas." Oh, you flatterer, you. "I just copied the following from Fox News homepage. It said the original article was from the New York Post. So my on-air question is, WTF, you hear anything about this? What is it going to be? Is it BS? Actually sounds pretty cool when they get to talking about swimming and kayaking, paddleboarding and lagoon. What's the guru say?" And here's what it says. "Las Vegas is known for being flashy. What about splashy? Casino titan Steve Wynn, who said last week that his business caters to the wealthy because nobody likes being around poor people, especially poor people." I missed that quote. "Plans to bring another mega resort to town. Sure, it will include a 1,000-room hotel, a casino, dining options, all pending approval, of course. But what really stands out is the mammoth, man-made 38-acre lagoon by Crystal Lagoons, whose size will make it the biggest in the U.S., the Post has learned. Crystal Lagoon is who cares? Blah, 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 blah. The Crystal Blue Expanse will be the centerpiece of Wynn's 130-acre deployment development called Wynn Paradise Park, and will measure more than 30 football fields. A white sand beach will surround the water. Guests can do more than sunbathe and swim. They can jet ski. They can sail, windsail, and paddleboard through the lagoon as well. It's not only for daytime fun. By the way, at night, fireworks display will be launched in the lagoon's 120-foot center island. We could put on a water ski show in the afternoon and at night, a great show like they have at Disneyland, only bigger. And we can have fireworks every night. That could cover the whole 40 acres. So is it true?" It is. It absolutely is true. So where is this? Crystal Lakes by Jason Voorhees from the live chat. Here's the thing about old Stevie. Steve's an interesting guy. You know, he's a kind of quirky cat. And you look at him, you're like, that's a quirky guy. But Steve, I think without question, and I call him Steve because he and I go way back. I think there is no question that Steve is by far the visionary of Las Vegas. Think about it. He started doing his Vegas-y thing at the Golden Nugget. Golden Nugget, to this day, is the best property in downtown. You know, it's a AAA, four-star diamond, whatever the hell it's called. It's a nice property. And I think part of that is the legacy of Steve. But that's not where he really got his bones. He's the guy that said, yeah, let's spend $2 billion on a casino. Now, I don't know when the Bellagio was built, but holy crap, he also did the Mirage. So guess what? Two of arguably the most iconic things, free shows in Las Vegas, the Bellagio Fountain, the Mirage Volcanoes, both came from the brain bag of Mr. Wim. And then he went off and did, he's like, well, you know, I've done that. That's good. Sold. I think maybe I'll do a little bit of stuff on my own stuff. Wynn Encore, arguably some of the nicest properties there. It doesn't have that same kind of Bellagio thing. It doesn't have that same external thing, but they're doing some pretty cool things here. And I think this may be his response, which is, fuck it. We're gonna tear down. So first of all, the location is right next door. Not when it is the golf course that Brett has talked about before. It's been a golf course there for I don't know decades. I think it was part of Desert Inn or whatever it was called. And he's like, you know what? I recognize that we have to address what's happening. I just read a report that said Vegas casinos are making more money again, but that money is not coming from gaming. It's coming from all the other things, from foods, beverages, shows. People are spending more per show than they've ever had. By the way, used to be the average amount of time somebody vacationed in Vegas was 3.5 days. Now it's 4.4 days. That's an increase of what, 33%? I don't know, 25%? That's a huge increase. So people are staying longer. They're spending more money. But they're not only spending it on gambling. So I think Wynn is probably thinking, okay, Encore, yeah, feels pretty good. Wynn, yeah, it feels pretty good. What can we, oh, gee, I got a whole shitload of acres over there for golf. How many people are playing golf? I like the idea of golf, but I got 40 acres over there. What can I do with it that would actually generate a boatload of revenue? And this is pretty cool. So I've seen pictures of it. You know, it's got a arched casino, 1,000 rooms. So it has that same kind of arch as Wynn and the same kind of arch as Encore. And it faces the water, huge lagoon. And I'm sure it's going to have restaurants and all that kind of stuff there. I think it's a brilliant idea. And my guess is everybody at MGM and those at Caesars are like, God, Jesus Christ. You know, our park doesn't even have grass. And this guy's building a lagoon in the middle of the desert. By the way, just so you know, a pool that is 10 by, let's say 10 by 20, takes up less water than grass that takes 10 by 20. You probably didn't know that. That's why the state likes pools. Okay, next one is from, in the live chat, Gregor Tepa. Greg writes, hey, Scott and Brett. Look forward to the show this evening. I have been to Las Vegas 13 times. That's interesting about our readers. About our audience is our audience tends to be people who really spend more than just the single visit per year or two. These are folks who come here often and who stay longer than the 4.4 days, which is pretty interesting to me. Because before I moved here, I wasn't one of those people. You know, I didn't really know Vegas that well. We would come probably two times a year, maybe three, but it was all long weekends, you know, 2-3 days, 4 days maybe. Typical touristy kind of stuff. So it's really interesting to read emails and talk to folks like the people in the live chat who are really into the Vegas stuff. So, you know, we appreciate your guys' support. 13 times and salivate with the anticipation of each new trip. Conversely, I mourn the departure, whether I won or lost money. However, I do find myself having slight gambling withdrawals while visiting Las Vegas because I'm unable to play lottery or engage in fantasy sports based on the restrictions imposed, recently restrictions. Why exactly is that? My theory with lottery is that the potential racket that it would create with droves of people claiming to have tons of losing tickets to potentially offset any tax income. Not sure if that's the case. Well, well, well. So there's two things. So the reason why and this is happening across the country, the reason why the fantasy sports thing happened is because, you know, well, I don't know if you know this, but the casinos have a little bit of say here. And they, you know, probably went to the AG and said, this is actually not what they're claiming it is. It is not skill-based. It is, you know, the opposite of that. There's guessing. There's bullshit. That's against the rules. Get them the hell out of there. And that happened pretty quickly here. Happened in, I think, in probably a half a dozen other states as well. Here's the thing with lottery. So we don't have lottery here. And my guess is we won't have lotteries here. So who's going to lobby for lottery here? It's not going to be the casinos. And it's not going to be the lottery companies. Wait a minute, Scott. Why wouldn't they be? Because the largest lottery company is also the largest gaming company in the world right now. So Megabucks, the whole thing where you heard the guy who won $1 billion or whatever it was, that's the same company that owns many of the slot machines that are running around there. So they are certainly not going to piss on their own cereal so they can get that going on here. They're doing just fine with having lottery everywhere else but here. It's in Arizona. It's in California. But I would be shocked if lottery ever comes here. Now, I was shocked that a casino actually decided to stop smoking, and that's the sports book over at LVH or whatever the hell it's called now. They stopped smoking there. I didn't think that would ever happen. So I could be wrong, but the truth is, I don't think I am. I think the idea of keeping Nevada as a purely gambling thing and letting the lottery thing be elsewhere, I think that's probably going to be in hold for a while. And by the way, if you're in Las Vegas and you find yourself wanting for gambling, you're withdrawing from gambling, might be time for a visit to GA. Now, I don't know if that's completely true or not, but if you can't get your fix in gambling in this here town, come on, Greg. I think you Westgate. Thank you, Bob. I think you probably can if you work really, really hard. All right. Let's do a little RQS again real fast. This is just a single one. I want to thank Christina again for her intro, and we would invite you to introduce the show. Get your name out there. Let people see who you are and that you support our show. Here's how you do it. Basically, the script is like this. It's your name, where you're from, what you're watching, and then something funny. So it might be something like this. Hey, I'm Dave Smith from Effingham, Illinois, and you're watching the Living in Las Vegas podcast on the Vegas Video Network. Then you can say something funny, maybe about Effingham, for example. And remember, when you shoot the video, shoot it in landscape like this. You don't want to shoot it like this. You want to shoot it like that. That way it'll fill up the whole screen, all right? So your name, where you're from, you're watching the Living in Las Vegas podcast on the Vegas Video Network. And something funny if you like. We've got a couple. We did Christina this week. We got another one lined up for next week. Please send them in. We think they're really, really cool. And they're charming as hell as well. So be charming, have some fun, and be a part of it. All right, so it's time for our chat questions. Chat potpourri. Some really interesting questions from these guys. And this is a part where you get to be a part of the show. So if you're in the live chat, this show is your show. First question is from Jimmy. Jimmy wants to know, is there a part of town that most celebrities live? Well, it depends on who you think are celebrities, for one thing. But yeah, there are. There's probably four places that you tend to go. And it's really not so much a celebrity enclave as it is just, you know, nice homes. So, for example, or hip homes. So the Scotch 80s. Is a place that's been around forever. The Goodmans live there, for example. These are old, I think they're, you know, mid-century homes, ranch-styled homes, been around forever, large lots. They're the ones that look like Fred Flintstone homes. They've got the rocks on the wall, you know what I'm talking about? A lot of those there. A little bit of rehabbing, perhaps. But so a lot of people hang out there. Southern Highlands is a place which is way south. The Vegas Valley is a clock, Southern Highlands is literally at 6 o'clock, just before you leave the valley is Southern Highlands. It's a giant master plan gated community. So you got people hanging out there. Seven Hills has a lot of folks running around there. And also there's an area called, the live chat, Section 8. Yeah, Section 8's probably not where they go. Southern Highlands? Did I say that? Yeah, Southern Highlands is, I mentioned that. Also, there's an area called Section 10. And the unsexiest of names. And the reason it's called that is because Las Vegas, from a real estate perspective, is gridded, right? And one of these areas is called Section 10. These are older houses with very large properties. So Section 10 is just south of us. So these are properties that have half acre land. So they can do, you know, multiple houses, guest houses, pools, tennis courts, that kind of stuff. So those are the places that you see. But I've seen arguably famous people that you've probably heard of on the Strip that live in just kind of regular neighborhoods, you know, or maybe, I don't know, Red Rock Country Club, those houses are nothing special, you know. There's a lot of gated communities here in Las Vegas, and there are a good number of guard-gated communities here as well. So most people, you know, in that world kind of lean to that. But the truth is, fame doesn't equal money here. And this is one of the interesting things I learned when I moved here. And what I discovered was, you see a lot of these folks who are Las Vegas famous. And they're invited to all the grand openings and the red carpets and the show launches and all this kind of stuff. And I'm not sure if they believe that they are well off, but they're invited to act that way. But the truth is, a large number of people who are doing significant shows here in Las Vegas don't have a pot to piss in. It's really interesting. Now, for example, Wayne Newton, I don't know Wayne Newton. You know, for a while he was, you know, rich beyond his gourd. Then he kind of fell off for a while. He's coming back. He's doing a show at the Windows Showroom at Bally's. Now, that really isn't a great room. But for whatever reason, you know, he opened up his house for tourists. He opened up his garage for tourists. He's trying to get back in the gig. Now, I don't think, you know, his problem has always been his voice of late. And so the word is, this show, and it hasn't been in preview yet that I'm aware of, this show is more of a storytelling thing. As opposed to, I'm going to, you know, sing Donka Shane and kind of go with it that. But so I don't know about him. But and there are, of course, some exceptions. Carrot Top, he's filthy rich, without question. That guy's bringing in $1 million a year. He's doing fine. Penn and Teller, doing fine. I'm not talking about those guys. I'm talking about the ones who are doing the vast majority of these shows. There is a fake sense of money there that is really disconcerting when you get to it. And a perfect example is I've talked to, you know, many guys about doing stuff, and they don't have a couple hundred dollars to be able to produce their own content. What the fuck is that about? But they're driving around in nice cars. So it's that whole playing rich but starving to death. So it's actually pretty disconcerting. And it's one of the things that somebody very close to me is very annoyed by, that they're basically full of shit, and it's all kind of smoke and mirrors. So that's kind of a drag. But the other thing about living in Las Vegas, of course, is that you don't have to be rich to live in a nice house. I mean, it depends on where you're from, of course. If you're from, you know, Effingham, Illinois, then it's not a big thing. But if you come from a major city, Chicago, New York, San Francisco, L.A., those kind of places, and you move here, you're going to love it here. I mean, the house that we have here, I couldn't even tell. It's $1 million-plus house where we used to live. I couldn't even step foot in this house. But here, it's quite reasonable, super reasonable. The house that we had before, the one we have in Aliante, it was 60% larger than the house that we had in California, and 40% of the cost. Imagine that. I'm going to spend 40% less money. I'm going to spend 40% of the money that I spent in California and get a house 60% larger. Where the hell does that happen? Happens in Las Vegas. This is the play. Now, in the live chat, Mike says Portland has a starting price of $275. Is that for resale houses or are those new? Because we did a show about this. Actually, it's a pretty popular show, where we said, here's what you get resale. Okay, so here's what you get for $220,000. $220,000 I think it was about 4 or 5 months ago, was the average price for a resale house in Las Vegas, $220,000. And as we showed, it depends on where you are. I mean, there are, if you're in Summerlin, you're not going to get as nice a house for $220,000 than if you get up in, you know, in the Aliante area. Or if you go down the east side versus maybe Henderson won't be as nice a house. But all these houses are nice. The ones up in the north, they were very nice. So you're just trying to get in here and you want to get a house? Oh, it reminds me of a story. One of my favorite stories about Las Vegas. This happened in 2003. So Melissa and I had decided, okay, we're going to move to Las Vegas. Our kids had finished high school. You know, that work was done. It was important that they got to do that. RQS. I get to do RQS. I get to be a storyteller. This is like the after show where I just get to tell stories. And so we're like, okay, let's move to Vegas. That is, you know, great place to live, kind of a cool weather. I like what's going on there. Let's sniff around. So we head out there. We did a couple weekends where we came out here, and we stayed at, one weekend, we stayed at Mandalay Bay. So it was, you know, evening, it was Friday night or whatever. And again, 2003. And we're sitting at the bar, and we're watching, you know, any one of, let's say, 50 bands that play in Las Vegas. Cover bands. And now these bands who play in Las Vegas are good bands. If you're a cover band and you're playing at a casino, especially a major casino, you're good. You know what the hell you're doing. Very different than if you're playing at, you know, the Dew Drop In over at Poughkeepsie. No offense to Poughkeepsie or the Dew Drop In. So we're watching this band, and they're a good band. Having a, I think I was drinking Tanqueray tonic at the time. Band takes a break. Drummer comes and sits down with us. Mind if I join you? Ah, no, absolutely. Have a seat. Love to talk to you. So we ask him, okay, what's your story? How did you end up getting it? He goes, it was so weird. He goes, I'm from Minnesota. He goes, I lived in Minnesota, and a buddy of mine called me and said, hey, our drummer bailed out. We need a drummer for the weekend. Would you mind coming on down and just sitting in? We know we'll have fun in Vegas. It'll be a great time. It's like, yeah, sure, let's do that. So he flies into Vegas. He plays with this band, kind of sees what this is going on, ends up hanging out and staying. And one weekend ends up to be 4, and then a month, and then 3 months, and 6. And fast forward 2 years later, he's buying a house. So this is a drummer in a cover band who just got to buy himself a house. Now, remember, in 2006, all hell was breaking loose. People were buying houses that they shouldn't have been buying. But in 2003, that nightmare really hadn't happened. So arguably, now I don't know this for sure, but arguably he was making enough money to buy a house. And like we're seeing in the live chat, a drummer buying a house, that's insane. It is insane, unless you're in Las Vegas. And it was one of the sweetest stories I'd ever heard about, because where else can you just be a musician and do that kind of thing? And this is the town. There really is no other town that does it this well. Austin, Texas is a good example of a huge music town, right? 1,000 bands. As a matter of fact, a guy who used to be here, used to be a co-op member, did iPiano Labs, moved to Austin, and he's talking about, oh, I got, you know, I'm hearing people practicing at night, and there's bands, great music, and all that kind of stuff. I guarantee you that there's not a drummer who's got one gig, and he bought themselves a house in Austin, Texas. Yet, even today, you probably could pull that off. Not a house, maybe a condo, but fucking condos here are still pretty inexpensive, and I just think that's magic. Now, do most musicians here only have one job? Fuck no, they don't. Most musicians here are working multiple gigs. They're dancing as fast as they can. Most musicians bitch and moan that they don't have enough job. By the way, if you want to see an entertainer who has completely figured this out, you must watch last night's House Seats Presents. We had a gal on named Ann Martinez, and Ann is one of the very few people in entertainment that I so respect because she's a business person. She's out there, she's working at Fantasy, she's working at Zombie Burlesque, she's at Showstopper, and she's also producing her own show called Alice, a steampunk concert fantasy. She's doing all this stuff. Plus, we did a live stream for her when she was doing this show she created. The people around her kind of bailed. She owed me some real money. And instead of, you know, bailing or making it hard, she actually took the money deal herself. Her other partners just kind of backed out, which I thought was kind of shitty. But she just said, I'll manage this. Every time I sent her an invoice, I said, well, no, we'll do it in payments. I sent her an invoice, and she would thank me for the invoice. Fuck does that? Thanks, Scott. Really appreciate it. So I hope Ann Martinez becomes a superstar because A, she's sweet, B, she's talented, and she's a goddamn professional. All right. So that was for the one question, where do celebs live? Okay. Let's do one more. I think Ken has a good one. We'll do that one. Ken asks, there's actually a couple good ones. Ken asks, what would be the most tempting thing to make you leave Las Vegas? Oof. That's tough. What's the most tempting thing? I really like it here. There's not a lot to tempt me away. There is, I'm fascinated by another business thing that wouldn't require me to leave Las Vegas, and that has nothing to do with broadcasting, really. It has to do with online stuff. That fascinates me. But the truth is, there's nowhere else in America that has the weather here. There's nowhere else in America that has the entertainment or food here. The closeness to other things that are important to me here. The housing market is amazing here. It would be rough. So, you know, if somebody went to Melissa and said, all right, we're going to make you senior vice president of Wichita College, but you got to move to Austin. Well, you know, as an adult and as a husband and, you know, a partner, we would actually have to have that talk. And it would have to make sense. And all of a sudden we're doing living in Austin. I don't foresee that as happening anytime soon. But I think it would be really rough. Hawaii is an interesting thing. Hawaii's got great weather. The job thing is a little weird there. Also, I think there's a problem with island fever in Hawaii. So Melissa was in Hawaii when 9/11 took place. And so she was trapped on Hawaii. Now, if you're going to be trapped anywhere, Hawaii would be a pretty good place, right? Nope. It's not a good place because you're fucking trapped in Hawaii. You can't get off that island unless you got a plane, and planes weren't flying for a couple of days. So it was really unpleasant for her to have to deal with that, right? Other good places, you know, California has great weather, but it's such a fucked up state. And I used to be a California bigot. If you weren't from California, then you didn't know anything. Until I left California and realized, what the hell was I thinking? This state is insane. So I really do like the vibe here. The one thing that I don't like, and I do miss sometimes, and that is, and we've talked about this on this show before, and that's the level of professionalism in Vegas is nowhere near what I dealt with when I was in the Bay Area, when I was in Silicon Valley. There's things happening here. There's behavior of people here who are adults, professionals, that, man, if they tried to pull that crap in California, they would just be laughed out of the room. But it happens here pretty regularly. You know, part of why I changed the business practice of both the network and most recently the co-op, you know, it used to be in the co-op, you could just sign up. You could go to our website, and if we had open enrollment, like right now we're in enrollment, open enrollment number 5. And it used to be in like enrollment 4, you could go and go, yeah, but the pricing looks good. There's a lot of neat stuff here. I like what he's saying. I think the story makes sense. Click, sign up, you're in. Come to find out, that wasn't a great idea because we ended up dealing with people who just didn't get it for whatever reason. And I'm not judging, but maybe I am. But it just didn't feel right. I wasn't having fun. They weren't having fun. And that's kind of the deal. You got to have fun if you're going to do this kind of stuff. If you're going to work, why not have fun? So we changed the business so that to join the co-op now is actually an application process before it makes sense, so that we know what you know, what you need, what you want. How do you measure success? What are you trying to achieve here? If you don't know, how the fuck can we help you? Answer is, we can't. So we really got a good sense of what makes a great co-op member. And part of that happened because we were so exposed to folks who weren't professional. And not all of them were co-op members, by the way. Some of them were coming in and saying, I'd like to be a co-op member. I'm like, we're kind of not open right now. we're closing that off. So that was a little unpleasant, I thought. But that's the only real negative thing. You know, other than that, you know, I can't really think of like a job change that I would do. I'm in a pretty good place here. I mean, you know, ultimately, when I started my own business back in 1998, it was a test. And it was a website design thing. And I wanted to see, hey, can you do it for 2 years? Because that's the test, right? You want to test and see, can you run your own business for 2 years? Because if you can live for 2 years, God bless your heart, you did it. You survived. And I did that for 2 years. And I'm like, well, let's keep going. And we did it for more. And then I just started doing more musical stuff and started selling CDs. And that was very successful. I'm like, well, that's pretty cool. And then this podcasting thing came up. And I'm like, well, this is interesting. Let me kind of sniff around here. Started doing podcasting, got profitable, did, you know, good money. And I'm like, well, there's something to be said for working for yourself. And I like it. So and that's the other thing that, you know, you do get exposed to in this world when you do work for yourself is you look at big companies. And the one thing I will miss sometimes is and I actually had asked a friend of mine who was working for a big company, you know, do you find that there are people here who are as good as the other places you've been? And they're like, yeah, I have, which is neat. But I've also, you know, been in big companies here and elsewhere where, you know, if I had to work there, I'd want to fucking shoot myself because the incompetence is, you know, is biblical. And that's so hard to deal with. And the whole, you know, your job is to motivate people. Fuck that. These people are adults. Do your job. Be proud of what you do. Put out good work. Why don't we go with that? All right. So that to me is the deal. I'm not sure I could think of anything that would make me want to leave, but I don't know. You know, offer me $5 million and say, you have to leave Vegas. You're not going to have a talk about that. All right. I think that's enough for that. We'll get to these other live chat questions. We're already, an hour in? Let's do a little bit of Have a Drink on Me. All right, it's time for Have a Drink on Me. It's part of the show where I show you a bar that I've attended. And if you can guess where it is, you get to win some fabulous prizes. Brett, what do they... Oh, son of a bitch. Scott, what do they win? Well, if you're looking to be a fashion icon, you can wear this, the Vegas Video Network visor. Does it come in color, Scott? Why, yes. It comes in red. It comes in tan and the same color of Scott's heart, known as black. Wait a minute. You're a musical person. You like the music, and especially you like Latin jazz, Latin guitar, solo guitars. Well, have I got something for you. The Gajazzathon CD. We've sold so many that I was able to buy a large bottle of Crown Royal because of the Spotify and iTunes stuff. I'm not bragging. I'm just saying I'm famous somewhere. What? You like Christmas? The most wonderful time of the year? Well, of course you do. And you can get the Christmas Acoustic or Christmas Acoustic CDs. No, Scott, that's not what I want. Why is it called Have a Drink on Me? Great question. The top prize... I will buy you a drink. We will sit, we will talk, we will learn about each other. Maybe we'll hold hands. I don't know. I'm not judging. I'm just saying that is lovely stuff. All right. Let's take a look-see at what's going on here. Well, we had quite a few entries. This is going to be tricky since I've got to do both parts of this. We'll see if we can pull it off. I have faith. Because you got to have faith. All right, here we go. What's that one? All right. 27 out of 29, one of our, I'm surprised by this. I didn't think you guys would get this, but they started coming in like a mother. I'm like, holy shit, I've got to make my clues harder. Okay. First of all, let's take a look at last week's Have a Drink on Me to remind everybody. And I know what you're thinking. Don't worry. I'm not going to forget. That's last week's Have a Drink on Me. It's the Indigo Lounge. Now, are there other ways to win or get your name in a hat? Yes. Way number one, give us a correct answer. Way number two, be the very first correct answer. We'll double you in there. Way number three, give us a correct answer and be in the live chat during this segment. We'll give you another entry. Is there more? Yes. If you show the Gajazzathon CD or any of our CDs in the wild, which includes a picture of you, another entry for you. Now, why would we do all this work? Who cares if we win? I'll tell you why you care. Because for the love of God, if you win, if you make it happen, you will become a part of the galaxy of God. There's Rob and Glenn in New York. There's Jimmy 2G's who will shoot you. Because his name is Jimmy 2G's and he's a mafia guy. Everybody knows that. There's Bob and his wife, whose name I forgot because she's anonymous. Everybody wears red. There's Stewart in Red Square. There's Pinky and Bud. Their new talk show was picked up on TBS. There is Craig, who comes to Vegas more than me. There's Michael and Scott. There's Shanna Chan, now owns a couple visors. There's Alan, who always writes good letters. And his better half, who's much more talented than G. There's Pops, there's Sammy, there's Scott and Jackie and Christina, who has babies because of Kid Chazavon. It's probably not true. There's Brett's dad, there's Don and Wade, there's a dog, there's Wayne. There's look out! There's Danny and Brett. Oh my God. That'll do, pig. All right. Whew. You guys sing that song at one breath, says Pops. Nope. That's not going to happen. Okay, here we go. Like I said, we got a lot of entries. 27 out of 29. Why is there a dog, but not the pic I sent to my kids? Oh, where is that pic? Send it again. I'll put it in there. And say it should be in the Galaxy of Gods. I think I might have used that as your double entry. But yeah, I should have that in there. As a matter of fact, we got one from Ken that will eventually be part of the Galaxy of Gods because it's so damn good. All right. Here we go. Number one, Eric Hansen, Airport Limbo. Eric gets one for the correct answer. Eric gets one for the first answer. Eric gets another one. I think. There he is. Because he's in the live chat. So right there, Eric picked up three entries. He didn't even breathe hard. He just was like, yeah. And he's oftentimes number one. Even when he won the one before, he realized, yes, I'm number one, and I'm not eligible. Monica Fagan, Binky. Bing, 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 bing. She's in there. Binky gets a double because she's in the live chat. Way to go, Binks. What do you think the genesis of Binky's name is? Binky is often referred to as a pacifier. Do you think? Never mind. Jimmy 2G's. We know Jimmy's hanging out there. Let me just double check to make sure. Oh, Jimmy, Jam, Jam. There he is. So Jimmy gets one for the correct answer. Jimmy gets another for being in the live chat. By the way, Christina, the star of our show, we've shown her what about 4,000 or 5,000 times today. She's in the live chat as well, known as Raising Las Vegas. Gary Romberg, back to his title, Mr. Testy. Way to go, Gary! I appreciate you going back to the Nom de Plume. I think that's appropriate. I liked it. I didn't. I was a little sad that you stopped doing it. All right, Gary's in. Ken Anderson. Now, here's the thing with Ken. Ken had the wrong answer. Ken does not get an entry for that. However, Ken does get an entry because he sent in a fucking cool picture. And you may say to yourself, wait a minute, wouldn't not having a correct answer prevent him from sending in a picture and getting back? No. course not. You send in a picture. I'm all for it. Let's go. Look at this picture. There is Ken in beautiful Hawaii. He was so thoughtful. He bought both the amazing Vegas Video Network visor and the Gajazzathon CD. I don't care who you are. You got to respect that. That will eventually be a part of the galaxy of God. So thank you, Ken, for that. There's one for the picture. I'm giving you another one. Because, well, hell, you deserve it. Wait, my God. For being in the live chat. There you go. There you go, Ken. By the way, his guess was, I couldn't figure out where he got that. Tammy Mossbrucker. I don't think Tammy's in there. Andy Schulman. Oops. Easy. Erin Perry. Erin Perry, she created this right here, and she created that right there. Arguably the most talented of the Perrys from the Arizona Prescott, if you will. Scott's contest, Scott's rules. Chicago snowman, Michael Snow. I think I've seen him roaming around doing great magical things. There he is. He gets one for the correct answer. He gets one for being in the live chat. I'm telling you, being in the live chat, besides being a part of the show, you double your pleasure. You double your fun. Tom Yu from the University of Tom. Sometimes he's in there. I don't think I saw him in there today. I'll just double check real fast. I don't see Tommy. He's taking the time off. He's going to check us on demand, probably on Roku or iTunes or YouTube. Steve I, the wise guy. Steve I is from Prescott. Steve's always in the live chat. And let's double check that. There he is. Steve, there he is. One for the correct answer, one for being arguably one of our largest fans. I don't mean that by size, I mean by heart. His heart is three times bigger than it was before he first started watching our show. Sweet. Next up, Mike Lisowski, known as Mad Chipmunk, and he writes, great show. Konnichiwa. One for the right, one for being in the live, Chatterooski. By the way, Greg's liver is three times larger from drinking. Attaboy. Nothing wrong with that. Beak is good. Glenn Santa. I know Glenn's in the live chat. The Santas and the Whitneys will be dining, I believe, this weekend. Off the strip. Glenn is a previous Have a Drink on Me winner. For those of you wondering what Glenn looks like, this is what I expect he'll be wearing when we go out to dinner on Sunday. We're going to be dining off strip. How about that? He's like, I don't want that strip stuff. I want to be, local. I'm like, yeah, I get that. I'm with your brother. Andy Z from Winnipeg, Canada. He loves the podcast and also loves coming to Vegas. Dig that. Dave Fagan. Dave, are you in the live chat today, my brother? Oh, I'm afraid not. I am seeing some other live chat folks who are new. Sorry I didn't catch you guys. Mike Beatty from Chicago. Stuck in a hellhole. Is anybody else in Chicago? Would you really call it a hellhole? I would, because it's cold and snowy and shit, but that's just me. I think we talked about my need for warmth and sunshine. Chicago snowman, of course. All right. Here we go. Next up, Alan Perry. Alan writes, hi, guys. The Haddam Bar this week is Indigo Lounge at Bally's. I'm loving the Haddam part of the show. So many new bars and restaurants to check out on our next trip. I can see a couple of pub crawls in our future. We've had a couple people say they basically take our Haddams, list them up, and then do a pub crawl. I keep a list of the weekly Haddam bars in a spreadsheet. I know, kind of dorky. And keep a checklist of the bars we visited when we are in town. Of the times that we have played the Haddam game, we have had drinks at 20 of the 50 places. We've got to do some catching up. Cheers, Alan at Prescott. You don't think the bars would appreciate that, would you? Right? Pretty neat. All right, next up, Mike Q. Mike gets one for the correct answer. Mike gets another one for being in the live chat. When you think Mike Q, you think gunshots. Mike was kind enough to send in one of those intro videos. We'll likely be showing his stuff next week. Mike writes, hey, Scott and Brett. They had him as Indigo. Also, a little intro to use. Well, he basically explains what his intro is and why he was not allowed to use gunshot. Something to do with a restraining order. Interesting. Again, I would like to push so others may. If he does win, he wants to give it to other people because he's a giving God. And, of course, we're going to call him a giving God because why? Because he's armed. All right. Keep going. Gene Rasmussen. Doesn't Gene Rasmussen sound like a classy name? Went in there. Gene writes, hey, Scott. Sorry for the late Haddam entry. I'm just catching up on back issues as I've been in Mexico for the last week. The answer to this week's Haddam is Indigo Lounge at Bally's. Hope this entry makes it in time. If not, it's still great listening to the podcast. Gene Rasmussen from St. Paul, Minnesota. What's the weather in Minnesota right now? Probably not great. Next up, Brett Barnes, which I think might be a first-time entry. Let's see. Brett writes, hey, Scott and Brett, not Brent. Great show. I, Brent, not Brett, am living vicariously through you all because I can't get down to Las Vegas due to taking care of elderly family members in my home. Been watching for about 4 months now after stumbling onto your network from a Las Vegas search on YouTube. Thanks so much from Paradise, California, just up the mountains from Chico. My first guess was Azure at the Palazzo due to the Blue Clue, but soon realized that Indigo Lounge at Bally's is a better match. Love you guys and your great chat audience. Boom. Isn't that awesome? I sent a couple of Haddams. I wonder if it didn't get through. Have Mike Q pop a cap at me. I don't know. I have a really aggressive spam filter. So if you can just, if you send me what you sent last time to show me that it was sent, I'll put you, I'll W you in again. We got no problem with that. Or you may just had a wrong answer. We will not allow wrong answers in. Next up, we got Bob McAdams, who is known as Baba Louie in the live chat from Bloomington, Illinois. So he gets one for a correct answer. Baba Louie. I think he's still in there. He is in the live chat. So he gets a double for that. Bob writes. And Bob writes. Hi, Ken. I'm sorry. Hi, Brett and Scott. My Haddam guest this week is the Indigo Lounge at Bally's. Now, this is a great story. We spent our wedding night in a Hollywood suite at Bally's in 1983. 1983. I just came out of the Air Force in 1983. That means that Bob is probably 145 years old. It was the MGM Grand at the time. A lot of people don't know that. That used to be the MGM Grand until it caught on fire. Limo took us to the little chapel of the flowers, and we tied the knot at 8 p.m. Then on to Jeremiah's Steakhouse and back to the room to change clothes. Now, this happened in 1983. I can't remember what I had for breakfast today. Bananas and a decaf. This guy's telling me what he did. What is that? 400 years ago? Got back to the room 5 a.m., awoke at 8 a.m., 3 hours of sleep, went down to Fitzgerald's, had steak and eggs, and back to L.A. for work the next day. That was when we fell in love with Las Vegas. Our love for each other and Las Vegas continues to this day. I need some romantic stuff. You are loving your husband, yeah. Love the show. Keep up the good work. Baba Louie, my hippie name. It's Bob McAdams from Bloomington, Illinois. Thank you, Bobby. Finally, we've got Leslie R. for our entries. Leslie, are you in the live chat, my dear? Let's see if she's in there. Leslie is our resident poet. There she is, Las Vegas. I see her. One for the correct answer. One for being in the live chat. And here is her poetic response. Good evening, guys. I had a crazy week and forgot about my response till a few minutes ago, but here it is, this week's poem. I hope it beats the deadline. It did. Bally's once was a place filled with glamour and glitz and beautiful showgirls who showed us their tits. Now the Indigo Lounge, designed by Vic Dre, is the only reason to visit today. So if you go to Yelp and look at the Bally's review by Leslie, I'm thinking maybe 2 stars. All right. Craig Daughtry. Craig. I'm going to give Craig a win for that. Is Craig in there? Vegas Doggy 22 thingamabob. There he is. So Craig gets one for the right answer. Vegas Dog gets another one for being in the live chat. And I'm going to give him a third one because he did send in a graphic. Now, it wasn't attached, so I can't show it. If you're going to send in an image, guys, make sure it's attached, not embedded in the email. What's happening, my brothers from another mother? The Haddam is Indigo at the Bally's. I know my VVN and the Wild Visor will not count as a double, but it will. But you must agree, I went old school. Keep up the nice work. You see that? Hold on, there it is. So he's got the visor, and he's got the old Sands. He's got old Sheraton Inn, Riviera, Barnaby Coast, Vegas World, Horseshoes. I mean, look at that. That's pretty cool. This guy has been coming here since Moses was a puppy. All right. Christina V. Christina brought in. Let's show you where she's at. She did a little double dipping. Can't beat her with that. Here's her double. Actually, she gets a triple. One for the correct answer. One for being in the live chat. And one for this Gajazzathon CD on the Colorado River. Pretty cool. So that's three for Christina. Christina, of course, understands the value of the music. She has given birth to these people because of my music. I have take, of course, complete credit for that. Let's do a little bit of videos. First up, we've got, you know him, you love him, you hope his medications are still on track. Ladies and gentlemen, let's watch Pops.
Hey kids, this week I'm gonna do one of those real serious videos like Bob does, where he holds up all three CDs. I'll hold up Gajazzathon three times. And then he goes, this week's winning Haddam answer is Indigo Bar. Here's the video. And it goes to the magical video. I'll just run what I got because I don't have the magical video. And you never see him put on his reading glasses and pick up the blurb and go,
Nightlife impresario Victor Dre once again transforms the local landscape by leading the design of Indigo Lounge at Bally's Hotel and Casino. Featuring beautiful draperies, impeccable service, handcrafted cocktails, live entertainment, and of course, sky-high Vegas strip lounge prices.
Come on, y'all knew I couldn't be serious. Doesn't matter how good my video is, Bob's just gonna make a monkey out of me. But it's okay. I figured out how to do that weird jump cut to give Scott the heebie-jeebies even when I'm using cartoon.
I don't like
be
that.
Be careful in the jungle. There's a jungle out there in the Haddam contest. You never know what's going on there.
That was a terrific
Jesus!
Got him.
See? So one for correct answer, one for the video, one for the live chat. Now, controversy in the live chat. There's a competitive nature happening in the live chat. It happens all the time. There's nothing to be afraid of. We're going to manage this. There was some criticism about the rhyming of the poem I just did for Leslie. Somebody in the live chat, we're not going to name names, but it rhymes with Danny, actually argued that it didn't rhyme. Let me reread it again just to say if I'm right. Bally's once was a place filled with glamour and glitz and beautiful showgirls who showed us their tits. Clearly those two rhyme. They end with TZ and TS, but that's a rhyme. So maybe it's the second part. Now the Indigo Lounge, designed by Vic Dre, is the only reason to visit today. Yes, I would argue that is a rhyme. Now, Danny did not put in a Haddam this week. Had she done so, that would have been a penalty, a party foul. We would have had to pull one out. But she didn't do it, so we don't have to worry about that. Okay. Finally, our Scorsese, our Quentin Tarantino. He went short this week because there really wasn't that much to say about Indigo. Here is Big Bob.
Hey, guys. This week's location is the Indigo Lounge, located at Bally's Hotel and Casino. Over 25 years ago, this lounge was called the Panda Lounge. Then Bally's decided they wanted more slots and turned it into a high-limit slot parlor. Then they turned it back into a lounge. It was inevitable that these two guys would put together a lounge act.
Great shot, by the way.
You guys have a good one. and we'll see you next week.
Thank you, Bob. Pops is a little angry that the folks in the live chat aren't playing along with the Pops and the Bobs. Get in there with your videos, folks. Have some fun. These people are making millions of dollars because of that. Bob gets one for the correct answer. Bob gets one for the video. Bob gets one because he's in the live chat. All right. So we have about 5,000 entries because of live chat stuff. Okay, let's see what we got here. New camera. Man, that feels good. All right, here we go. I'm voting for you. You know who I'm voting for. Come on, baby. All right, here it is. See how that goes. The winner is Andy Schulman. I think Andy might be a first-time winner. Andy wins a visor, a CD, or a drink on your buddy Scott. All right, let's look at this week's Have a Drink on Me. Congratulations again, Andy. Proving once again that all these things that we're doing to help you really doesn't matter. that wasn't the story we were hoping to tell. Okay, here's this week's Have a Drink on Me, everybody. Oh. Those of you who are watching carefully will recognize this. Here's this week's Have a Drink on Me. Our first clue. I said this was my favorite facade during the tour I gave in episode 259. Hit number one. I said this was my favorite facade during the tour I gave in episode 259. Hint number two. Three letters. C-P-K. Three letters. C-P-K. Hint number three. There's five of these things in Vegas. This one being the newest. If you're in the live chat, you're getting hints from somebody who apparently is named Dave and lives in Maui. All right, that's it, folks. Thank you so much. Again, send your emails to haveadrink@vegasvideonetwork.com. Again, haveadrink@vegasvideonetwork.com. All right, that's it. The solo show is over. Thanks, everybody, for playing along. Hey, if you want to send us an email for us to answer on the show, send it to onairq@livinginlv.com. Again, onairq@livinginlv.com. Let's say that you want to have your voice as part of the big show. That's really easy to do. You don't even have to pick up the phone. All you have to do is go to our website. You'll see a red tab on the right side. If you click that, a little box will pop up. You'll click the green button, and you'll be able to start recording your own voicemail on your website or our website because you've got a microphone attached to your computer. It's pretty cool. Hey, by the way, we're on iTunes. Leave us a 5-star review. We're also on YouTube. Give us a thumbs up and share us with all your friends. And besides being on iTunes and YouTube, we're on Roku with over 32,000 accounts installed. We're on Stitcher, TuneIn, Chromecast, Apple TV, Google TV, Fire TV. Google Play just announced that they've launched their podcast series. We're on that as well. And, of course, we're on the VegasVideoNetwork.com website. Thank you so much for playing along, everybody. You guys are awesome. The live chat, thank you so much for supporting the show today. You guys are great. Be a part of the live chat if you can, folks. It's a lot of fun. That's it for the big show. We'll see you guys next week on the Vegas Video Network's Living in Las Vegas. Take care, everybody. Ticket.